And thank you, Vicki. That song moves me every time I hear it, because I know that it's only by the grace of God that any of us are here. That he says in the scriptures that he lends us the very breath that we breathe. And if you stop and think about that, that means that we depend upon him. It's said that we breathe about anywhere from 15 to 20 times a minute. So we depend upon him every minute of every day, just for the air that we breathe. And then we depend upon him for the strength that he lends us, that we can walk around and do the things that are important to us. And not only that, but he lends us sense that we can follow those things that we know is good for us. And Paul and Alan and I and Vicki, we know that it's difficult from time to time to know what to do. But I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, and with the help of the Lord and the Holy Ghost, I can bring to you something that will give you, or that you can take home with you to ponder through the coming week. This sermon has been a long time coming, and I hope that when I give it that I don't cause any discouragement. Not like in conference when a brother stood up and said that one of our sisters was disturbing the whole young people. I don't want to disturb you, but I want to bring you to the realization that the time is short. I know the time is short. I haven't been shown when it will end, but most of us know that there's been things that happens throughout the weeks and months that we can look at, and we can tell what's happening and where it's coming from. Most of you know that we had a governor that had to resign because of a weakness that he had. We've got a president that's constantly under fire for some of the weaknesses that he has. But there's something that we all have to remember, that we all have weaknesses, that we all depend upon God to forgive us of our sins. But we have something that we have to do. It says that we have to be constantly in prayer. If we're not constantly in prayer, that allows a chink in our armor that will allow the evil one to come in. And he, if in some ways, affects each one of us. I hope that the great communicator will bring to your mind what I say. You know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is the great communicator. He's the spirit of a great teacher. There is so much that we have to do to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amulek warned his brethren, the Zoramites, I'm going to start on page 430 of our Book of Mormon. It's Alma, the 16th chapter, the 222nd verse. But I'm going to start a little bit earlier than that. I want you to listen to this. 106. He commandeth that there be no priestcrafts. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world. But they seek not the welfare of Zion. And each one of us must seek for the welfare of Zion. Goes on. Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Wherefore the Lord God hath given a commandment that all men should have charity. Which charity is love. And we're told in another place in the Book of Mormon that charity is the pure love of Jesus Christ. And I know that for a fact because I've seen it. I've seen the pure love of Jesus Christ go from one heart to another. And I was told that this cord that passed from one brother or sister to another was the pure love of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to have. And except they should have charity, they were in no wise, they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they should not suffer the labor in Zion to perish. Now, how do we cause the labor in Zion to perish? I got a phone call last week. The phone call was from my brother. And my brother is a member of the church, and he said, Larry, he says, I'm so discouraged with the church. He says, we had some ministry up here. He goes to Calgill. He said, we had some ministry up here in Calgill visiting. And he said, you could tell that the love of Jesus Christ was not in them. And he went on for about 15 minutes telling me various things. And I said, Jim, you can't let that discourage you. You've got to get in there and seek the will of God in your life. Not let other people destroy it. That's not the only time he's called me. But most of the time, it discourages him when they have visiting ministry come to Calgill. One ten. And again, the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murder, that they should not lie, that they should not steal, and that they should not take the name of the Lord God in vain, that they should not envy, that they should not have malice, they should not contend one with another, that they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should do none of these things. For whosoever doeth them shall perish. For none of these iniquities come from the Lord, for he doth that which is good among the children of men. And he doeth nothing, save it be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth all to come unto him and partake of his goodness, that he denieth none that come unto him, black and white and bond and free and male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentile. For behold, in the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, yea, behold, all nations of the Gentiles, and also the Jews, both those who shall come upon this land, and those who shall be upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they will be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. And when that day come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts. Now this part is what I want you to pay attention to. They will be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquakes and with great noise and with storm and with tempest and with flame of devouring fire. Have we not seen this? But I hate to discourage you. It's going to get even worse. And all the nations that fight against Zion, that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. Our study class, I want you to listen to this part and see if you've read it before. And it shall come unto them even as unto a hungry man, which dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul was empty. Or like unto a thirsty man, which dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. Yea, even so shall the multitudes of the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. For behold, all ye that do iniquity, and stay yourselves, and wonder, for ye shall cry out and cry. Yea, ye shall be drunken, but not with wine. Ye shall stagger, but not with strong drink. For behold, the Lord hath poured out upon you a spirit of deep sleep. For behold, ye have closed your eyes, and ye have rejected the prophets and your rulers and your seers hath he covered because of your iniquity. We wonder why we have some of these things. We see some of these things coming upon the land. Now, I want to turn, I'm going to go to the 12th chapter and just read a few things. And now, behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according to the Spirit hath constrained me. Wherefore, I know that you must surely, that they must surely come to pass. And the things which shall be written out of this book shall be of great worth unto the children of men, especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up, not unto the Lord, when one shall say to the other, behold, I am the Lord's, and the other say, no, I'm the Lord's. And thus shall every one say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learning and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. But they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, hearken unto us, and hear our precepts. For behold, there is no God today. Have we heard that before? That there's no God today. For the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken unto my precepts. If ye shall say, there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles. He hath done his work. And this next part is really important to us to hear. Yea, and there shall be many which say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall be many which say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God, he will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for a neighbor. There is no harm in this. I don't know whether I told you or not, but I'm going to repeat it. I was going to a seminar with my brother-in-law at the time. My brother-in-law was telling me that he and my sister-in-law were getting a divorce. And I sat still for a minute, and he says, it's because she doesn't want me running around with other women. And I said, Doug, I think that's a sin. I said, I don't only think it, I know it's a sin. And he says, no, it's not. He says, it's not a sin to me because I don't believe it. He says, it's a sin to you because you're on such a low spiritual plane. And he says, if I want to steal, he says, it's all right for me to steal. Lie, it's all right for me to lie. He says, anything I want to do, I can do, because it's not a sin for me. Of course, Doug and I disagreed. And by the way, we didn't go to seminars anymore together. But, you know, it's really important that we understand that what God says is the truth. Doug belonged to a group called Ekinkar. Ekinkar believed that their people become gods. And that's why it wasn't a sin for Doug, was because he was a god. And I was on such a low spiritual plane. And there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrine, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and they shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Have you ever noticed that? That most sin is done in the dark. The dark of night. Yea, they have gone astray. They have all gone out of the way. And they become corrupted because of pride, because of false teachers, and because of false doctrine. Their churches have become corrupted, and their churches are lifted up because of pride. They are built, they are puffed up. Goes on to say they rob the poor because of their sanctuaries, their fine sanctuaries. If you look around down in Springfield, up in Independence, in Kansas City, they have fine, big sanctuaries. Dallas, Texas, have fine, big sanctuaries. They think that you all are not of much worth because we don't have a big, fine sanctuary. But our sanctuary was blessed and dedicated to God. I turned the page too soon. Oh, no. They're fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. They persecute the meek and the poor in heart because of their pride. They're puffed up. Do you remember later in the Book of Mormon, it talks about a group of people that built the sanctuaries. And the there was people that got up on towers and prayed to God. Oh God, you know that I worship you. See my fine apparel. I'm kind of putting other words in there, but they're built up because of pride. And they told their other, the brethren that built their sanctuaries, you can't come in. You can't pray with us. You're not worthy. You're poor in spirit. Was Amulek the one that they were talking to?
I think it was Alma.
Alma told them, said, "Nah, you're more worthy to be in a sanctuary than they are." See, I wanted to go to Alma 16. 126. "And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time, and for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, this day of life, this day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I have said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed." Notice the night of darkness. You cannot say, when you're brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Ye cannot say this, for the same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your bodies in the eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subject to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. There's another place, I think it's on page 448. And this is talking about our time in the hereafter. After we pass from this life, we go to the God that created us. "Now the state of the soul between death and the resurrection. Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirit of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirit of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirit of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all their care and sorrows. And it shall come to pass that the spirit of the wicked, yea, who are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord. For behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil." We're told in modern day Revelation, the Book of Commandments, the 35th chapter. Reads like this. Now this is, I understand that this was a revelation given to Ezra and Northrop in Fayette, New York in 1830. And I'm going to skip their names, but this applies to all of us. Open your ears and hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, whose word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow, soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye are called to lift up your voices as with the sound of a trump, to declare my gospel unto the crooked and perverse generation. That does not only mean the ministry to lift up their voice, but that's a responsibility of each one of you to lift up your voice. For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest, and it is the 11th hour. And for the last time, I shall call laborers into my vineyard. And my vineyard has become corrupted every whit. And there is none which doeth good, save it be a few. And they err many in many instances because of priestcrafts, all having corrupted minds, or corrupt minds. The 11th hour. That was in 1830. If it was the 11th hour in 1830, how close to midnight are we now? I think there was a revelation given through Don Hauschnick about the 11th hour and the 12th hour. And he said, we're 5 minutes to 12. And that was back in the 80s. 5 minutes to 12. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that this church have I established and called forth out of the wilderness. And even so I will gather mine elect from the four quarters of the earth, even as many as will believe in me and hearken unto my voice. Yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, that the field is white, ready to harvest. Therefore, thrust in your sickles, reap with all your might, mind, and strength. Open your mouths, and they shall be filled, and you shall become even as Nephi of old, who journeyed from Jerusalem into the wilderness. Yea, open your mouths, and spare not, and you shall be laden with the sheaves upon your backs, for lo, I am with you. Yea, open your mouths, and they shall be filled, saying, repent, repent, and prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight his paths, or make his paths straight. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You notice how sometimes you get your mind set on how the sentence should flow, and then they change it. Yea, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of your sins. Be baptized even with water. Then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, that this is my gospel, and remember that they shall have faith in me, or they can in no wise be saved. And upon the rock I will build my church. Yea, upon this rock ye are built, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. And ye shall remember the church articles and covenants to keep them. And whosoever having faith, you shall confirm in my church by the laying on of hands, and I will bestow the gift of the Holy Ghost upon them. And the Book of Mormon and the Holy Scriptures are given of me for your instruction and power of my Spirit quickeneth all things. Wherefore, be faithful, praying always, having your lamps trimmed and burning, and oil with you, that you may be ready at the coming of the bridegroom. For behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, that I come quickly. Even so, amen. And what are the priestcrafts that we should worry about? Nephi, in the 11th chapter, I read you that just earlier. He commanded that there should be no priestcrafts, for behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world. But they seek not the welfare of Zion. My brother and I both have asked you to make yourselves knowledgeable about the scriptures. Study them. Don't rest them. Rest them means that we can leave them, lay aside, or in some instances, change the scriptures to meet our own ideas. In our study class last Thursday night, we read chapter 29 of the book of Isaiah. Turn to it when you get home and read it. It talks about the Book of Mormon. The world today, huh? 29. The world today says that there is no miracles of God today. They say that his work is done. You can read the second Nephi, 12th chapter, and I read that to you as well. I believe that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I believe that if you choose to follow after Jesus Christ, you can become a powerful people for Christ. Just 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Just the 12 of us can become a powerful people, leading others to Christ. And I believe there was something in the Book of Mormon that I read that said that you will rejoice if you brought one soul to Christ. So how much rejoicing could we have in this local by bringing 12 souls to Christ? And this is all because I believe that God knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what He has called each one of you to do. And now all we have to do is live up to our callings. I know that my brother and I, we have a hard task is living up to our calling. Not just the priesthood, but each and every member of the church. Whether it be in Independence, Phoenix, Africa, Yucatan, we each have a job to do. Without complaining or without delay, remember, Christ is counting on us to do as He has commanded. Each one of us have taken upon us the name of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of that when you reach out to take the sacrament? That you're taking His name upon you. My brothers and sisters, I pray that God will bless us through Jesus Christ. We are His. Let us serve Him with all of our mights, and may God bless us today and always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And whosoever believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whosoever is not of me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear a record of it from the Father, and the Father also. I bear a record of it from the Father, and whosoever believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear a record of me. For he will visit him with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record of him by the Father and me, and the Father and I and the Holy Ghost. And again, I say unto you, you must repent and become as a little child, or you can no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Skipped around a little bit there, I believe. Got my point across. He's not of contention. He wants us to become as a little child. Completely submissive. Completely willing to do the will of the Lord in our life. To seek His will first. The decisions we make in life or whatever we do, now it's we make sure it's the Lord's will that we do those things. That there's a purpose in them. It takes a constant communication with Him that we're seeking Him in everything that we do. Go to the 16th chapter of Alma, page 422. And I'm going to read from verse 1, starting in verse 136 of the 16th chapter of Alma. And now I said unto you that because you were compelled to be humble, ye were blessed. Do not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of thy word. He was talking about those that were poor and were thrown out of the synagogues and because they weren't clothed properly and they didn't have a place to worship. But they were blessed. Yea, he that truly humbleth, and he's saying, how much more they're blessed are those that humble themselves because of the word of Christ. Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humbled because of their exceeding poverty, because therefore blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word, or even compelled to know, before they will believe. Yea, there are many who do say, if thou wilt show unto us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of a surety, then we shall believe. Now I ask, is that faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For if a man knoweth all things, he hath no cause to believe, for he knoweth it. And how much more cursed is he that knoweth the will of God and doeth it not, than he that only believeth, or only hath cause to believe, and falleth into transgression. Now this thing you must judge. Behold, I say unto you that it is on the one hand, and even as it is on the other hand, and it shall be unto every man according to his work. We're to humble ourselves. We're going to be blessed and given to us according to our work, according to the way we live our life, if we're professing peace and goodwill to others, if we're cleaving unto charity and praying for it, if we remember that not all things are lawful, or all things are lawful, but not all things are experiencing. Not all things edify. We're to spiritually prepare ourselves. We're to be good listeners to others. Listen to what they have to say. Give them the time. And seek the will of God in our life. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto thee. Seek thee first the kingdom of God. And all the other things that, you know, you're talking about the birds and the God, blessings of God, you know, but God will bless us and provide for all things in our life if we seek him in our life. Going to turn to Jude. I think I'm going to turn to Jude. Yeah. Way here in the back somewhere, right before Revelation, I think. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept unawares, that who were before of old or ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believeth not. Think about that, that experience. That, you know, Moses led them out of Egypt, and when they turned, the Lord had to destroy them when they fell away. And the angels were kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I'm going to skip down to the fifteenth verse. I'll go to the 14th. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And it goes on and he says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of the advantage. But remember ye my words, which were spoken of by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there would be mockers in the last day of time, who should walk after their own godly lust. They being who separate themselves central, having not the Spirit of God, have not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourself in a most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ with compassion. We're not to be murmurers. We're not to be complainers. We're not to be walking after our own lust. We should be seeking the Lord in all the things that we do. We should be praying constantly for direction, allowing him to lead us, to calling on him to correct us and admonish us as we fall away. We're to spiritually prepare ourselves for his service. Study the scriptures. Be prepared to witness. Be good listeners to seek the will of God in our life. We're to look up to Jesus Christ. If we just think of that, to look up to Jesus Christ and what's his will. We get up in the morning to ask him, what's your will for me, Lord? To ask him for direction and what he might have for us to do, who we might be able to reach out, maybe a phone call, maybe a card, maybe a letter, whatever that he might want us to do, that he might place that in our hearts so we might edify those that are weak and strengthen those that need strengthening and do all things through charity. To consider all things in the light of Christ. We're to worship him, to have joy, to worship him in honor and glory in our life. To not forget of that assurance that we have of life eternal. and his promise that he's faithful. And he desires us and calls us into his holy priesthood, he says, as members of the Church of Christ, to do his will. Are we prepared? Are you prepared? Are you seeking God in your daily life? Are you putting him first? Am I? I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you too. We all need to remember that. In any of us, seek God daily. Thank you.
In your life, the testimony that you have, you share that with somebody, and the Spirit of God bears witness to them that what you're saying is true and you're joyful. And first thing you know, they start thinking, I'd kind of like to have that. That's where I'd like to be. You don't go out to the desert to get a drink of water. You go to an oasis. You go someplace where when you're thirsty for that living water, that river that never will run dry is out there for you to partake of. And that's the thing, that way of God more perfectly, that's what will touch people's lives. It'll change them. But first you have to have that in your life. You have to have something going on within you that's working, that people can see, that you're not just standing up behind the pulpit talking about something, but there's reality. It's affected your life. It's changed the way that you think. It's affected the way that you deal with your relatives, with your neighbors. When I say it, it reminds me of another not too nice a thing that I heard a preacher say. I don't know. I can kind of relate to it. He was saying the neighborhood he grew up in, he had always told him about the church he was in and that it was a true church and the church they ought to be in. And one day several of them were talking to him and they said, we think that you think you're better than we are. And he said, well, I hope I'm no worse. Not maybe the right thing to say, but... So, I've had something on my mind, and I don't know if I can preach it in a way that it'll edify you or bless you, but it's a scripture that I've liked through the years. This pulpit's almost too high for my bifocals, guys. I need the ones I wear with my computer here. Anyhow, it's in the fourth chapter of Malachi, and it's talking about the last days. I'll start with the very first verse. Behold, the day cometh that shall burn us an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch, but unto you and me, that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. How many of you ever had a calf in the stall? I don't have very many farmers. Thank you, Brother Yates. Right. So what do you have to do? If you got a calf in the stall, you're going to have to take care of them, or what's going to happen? You're going to starve to death, die of thirst, or whatever. That calf is totally dependent upon you feeding him and watering him and taking care of him. Well, that's what the Lord says we're going to be. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That means God's going to take care of us. Now, Joy and I had a conversation similar to what Mike talked about earlier today about him and Cheryl. We're talking maybe a different approach to it, but we're talking about, it wasn't about something to do away with all our electronics, but just what would happen if the government all collapsed tomorrow and there's no food in the grocery store.